Hobbit.
In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit.
Yes, and not a nasty, dirty, wet hole, nor yet a dry, sandy, bare hole. My hole was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort.
It had a perfectly round door painted green, which opened onto a tunnel-shaped hall with paneled walls and floors tiled and carpeted and lots of pegs for hats and coats.
But I'm very fond of visitors, you see.
And he was quite well-to-do. The long hall wound on and on, going into the side of the hill, and many little doors opened out of it. No going upstairs for the hobbit. Bedrooms, bathrooms, cellars, pantries, lots of these. Kitchens, dining rooms, all were on the same floor.
Yes. By the way, my name is Baggins, B-A-G-G-I-N-S, Bilbo Baggins, and at your service and your family's.
Yes, I suppose hobbits need some description nowadays, since they have become so rare. Hobbits were smaller than dwarves.
Yes, I think we may be smaller than dwarves, but at least we don't have those...
They're inclined to be fat in the stomach.
Well built, I think.
Very well, very well. They're inclined to be well built. And dress in bright colors, chiefly green and yellow. They wear no shoes because their feet grow natural leathery soles and thick brown hair like the stuff on their head, which is curly. They have long, clever brown fingers. Good-natured faces. And laugh, deep, fruity laughs.
Especially after dinner.
Which they have twice a day when they can get it.
Yes, yes, well, my mother was the famous Belladonna Took, one of the three remarkable daughters of the old Took, the head of the hobbits who lived across the water. And she met my father.
Yes, yes. There is little or no magic about them. But it has always been said that long ago, one or other of the Tooks had married into a fairy family. Once in a while, members of the Took clan would go and have adventures.
Not, of course, that Belladonna Took ever had any adventures. I mean, after she married my father.
Although it is probable that Bilbo got something a bit strange in his makeup from the Took side. Something that only waited for a chance to come out.
One morning, long ago, in the quiet of the world, Bilbo was standing at his door after breakfast, smoking an enormous, long wooden pipe that reached nearly down to his neatly brushed woolly toes, when Gandalf came by.
I saw an old man with a tall blue hat, a long gray cloak, a silver scarf over which his long white beard hung down below his waist, and immense black boots. The sun was shining, the grass was very green, and I was feeling extra friendly. So, all unsuspecting, I greeted the stranger cheerily.
Good morning.
What do you mean? Do you wish me a good morning, or mean that it is a good morning, whether I want it or not? Or that you feel good this morning? Or that it is a morning to be good on?
Well, all of them at once, sir. If you have a pipe about you, sit down, have a fill of my tobacco. There's no harm. We've got all the day before us.
You may have all day, but I do not. I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure I'm arranging. And it's very difficult to find anyone.
I should think in these parts. We are plain quiet folk, and we have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things make you late for dinner. You might try over the hill or across the water. Good morning.
What a lot of things you do use good morning for. Now you mean that it won't be good until you've got rid of me.
No. Not at all. Not at all, my dear sir. No. Let me see. I do think I know your name.
Yes, my dear sir, but I know your name, Mr. Bilbo Baggins. I am Gandalf.
Gandalf, yes. Gandalf! Good gracious me! Not the man who used to make such particularly excellent fireworks. I remember those. Oh, I do. I do beg your pardon. I had no idea you were still in business.
Where else should I be? All the same, I'm pleased to find that you remember something about me, even if it is only my fireworks. Indeed, for your old grandfather Took's sake and for the sake of your mother, Belladonna, I will give you what you asked for.
I beg your pardon?
I haven't asked for anything.
Yes, you have. Twice now. Mm-hmm. My pardon. No. I give it to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
I will go so far as to send you on this adventure. Very amusing. Very good for you. And profitable, too. Very likely. If you ever get over it.
If I ever get... Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I don't want any adventures. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, not today. Good morning.
I have already...
Yes, but please, come to tea. Come to tea, you know. I mean, any time you like. Why not come tomorrow? Yes, that's right. You come to tea tomorrow. Goodbye.
Gandalf was left standing outside. After a while, he stepped up, and with the spike on his staff, he scratched a sign on the Hobbit's green front door. Then, he strode away.
The next morning, I had almost forgotten about Gandalf. I don't remember things very well unless I put them down on my engagement tablet. The day before, I'd been too flustered to do anything of the kind. And it wasn't until just before tea time that I remembered. Gandalf! Tea! Mm. Oh, I'll just get another cup of saucer. Yeah. Coming.
I'm so sorry to have kept you.
Good afternoon. Dwalin the Dwarf.
The Dwarf? Oh.
At your service, excuse me.
Yes, hang your cloak on the peg. My name is Bilbo Baggins, B-A-W-D. Oh, yes, at your service.
Is that tea ready in there?
Yes, I was just going to...
Oh, these cakes look delicious. I'll have one or two, if I may.
Oh, please do. Have three, if you like. Excuse me. Good afternoon, Mr.
I see Dwalin's cloak hanging in your hall. I put my next to it. Shall I?
Yes.
There. Balin, at your service.
Thank you.
Welcome, Balin. Yes. Come in here and have some tea. A little beer would suit me better, if it's all the same to you, my dear sir.
Well,
I don't mind some cake, some seed cake, if you have any.
Lots. Go on in, yes.
Thank you, sir.
I'll... Oh, Gandalf for sure this time.
But this must be the house.
What can I do for you, my dwarves?
Keely, at your service.
And freely. Oh, at yours and your family's.
Let us join the throng.
The throng? I don't like the sound of that.
Come on, bring your cloak down. I can smell toast-cut bread and butter.
Yes?
Mr. Gandalf.
Come, Bilbo, it's not like you to keep friends waiting on the doorstep and then open the door like a popgun.
Keep friends?
Let me introduce Bifor, Bofor, and Bumbo.
At your service.
And especially Taurine Oakenshield.
Baggins. At yours and your family.
Well, shall we go in? I think we must be the last to arrive.
The last? Yes, of course. Fascinating with both of these dwarves. Mr. Gandalf, why have you brought...
Bilbo, you must not speak disrespectfully of these 13 dwarves, especially of Taurine.
Who? Oh?
He is the great Taurine Oakenshield, grandson of their last king under the mountain.
King?
Let us join the merry gathering.
Yes.
What's the
price, boy? Dwarves ate and talked and talked about mines and gold and... trouble with goblins and the depredations of dragons and lots of other things which I didn't understand. I didn't want to. They sounded much too adventurous. My appetite was quite taken away.
That was a very good tea, Mr. Baggins.
Let's see for weeks.
Oh, thank you. I suppose you will all stay to supper.
Of course! And after. Taurine Oakenshield, son of Thrain, gladly accepts your kind invitation. We shall not get through the business till late, so first let's have some music. I trust you've all brought your instruments. Go get them. On board. Please. Right, now, settle down, everybody. Settle down. Buddy. Now, ready. Now, for our song. Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away at break of day to seek the pale enchanted
gleaming golden horn. They shaped and wrought, and light they caught to hide in gems on hilt of sword. The bells were ringing in the dale, and men would talk with faces pale. The dragon's ire, a fierce vampire, laid low their towers and houses grand.
As they sang, I felt the love of beautiful things made by cunning and by magic arise within me. Fierce and jealous love, a desire of the hearts of dwarves. Oh, it must have been something tookish waking up inside me, for I wished to go and see the great mountains and to see pine trees and waterfalls, and to carry a sword instead of a walking stick. Through the window, I could see the stars in a dark sky, and I thought of the jewels of the dwarves in their dark caverns. Suddenly, in the wood beyond water, a flame leapt up. Well, probably somebody lighting a wood fire. And I thought of plundering dragons settling on my quiet hill and kindling it all to flames.
Where are you going, Baggins?
What about a little light?
We like the dark.
Dark for dark business.
And there are many hours before dawn.
I'm so sorry.
Let Taurine speak.
Gandalf, dwarves, Mr. Baggins, we are met together in the house of our friend and fellow conspirator.
Conspirator?
This most excellent and audacious homage.
Audacious?
May the hair on his toes never fall out. All praise to his wine and his ale. We are met to discuss our plans, our ways, means, policy, and devices. To the estimable Mr. Baggins, and perhaps to one or two of our younger dwarves, the exact situation at the moment may require a little brief explanation.
We shall soon, before the
break of day, start on our long journey. A journey from which some of us, perhaps all of us, except our friend and counselor, the ingenious wizard Gandalf, may never return.
Never return?
It is a solemn moment. Our object is, I take it, well known to all of us.
Who never return?
Excitable little fellow. Yes, funny. Fits, but he is one of the best. As fierce as a dragon in a pinch.
Ah! But will he do you think?
Do what, Glowin?
Well, This is all very well for you to say this hobbit is fierce, but one shriek like that in a moment of excitement would be enough to wake the dragon and all his relatives and then kill the lot of us. Yes. I think it sounded more like fright than excitement. As soon as I clap eyes on the little fella bobbing and popping on the mat, I have my doubts.
Glenn, let's have no more arguments.
Arguments? All I want
you
to
say... all asked me to find a 14th for your expedition, and I chose Mr. Baggins.
Yes.
There is a lot more in him than you guess, and a deal more than he has any idea of himself. You may, or possibly, all live to thank me.
But yes, if you
just
think...
let anyone say that I chose the wrong man or the wrong house, and you can stop at 13 and have all the bad luck you like, or go back to digging coal. No more argument.
Yes. First of all, I should like to know a little bit more about things.
Things?
Yes, things. I mean about the gold and the dragon and all that, and how it got there and who it belongs to and so on. And further.
Oh, bless me, didn't you hear us, huh? Haven't we been talking about all this for hours?
Yes, well, all the same, Taurine, yes. I should like it all plain and clear. I mean, I should like to know about risks and out-of-pocket expenses, time required, remuneration, so forth.
Oh, very well. Long ago, in my grandfather's time, our family was driven out to the far north and came to a mountain called the Lonely Mountain. There they mined and tunneled and made huge halls and workshops. And in addition, I believe they found a good deal of gold and a great many jewels, too. They grew immensely rich and famous. My grandfather was king under the mountain and was treated with great reverence by mortal men of the merry town of Dale. It was undoubtedly the gold and jewels which brought the dragon to the mountain and to Dale. Dragons steal treasures wherever they can find them and guard their plunder as long as they live, which is practically forever. There were lots of dragons in the north in those days. And one was a most especially greedy, strong, and wicked dragon called Smaug. Smaug. One day he flew up in the air and came south. The first we heard of it was a noise like a hurricane coming from the north, and the pine trees in the mountain creaked and cracking in the wind. We saw the dragon settle on the mountain in a spout of flame. And then he came down the slope, setting the woods all afire. By that time, all the bells were ringing in Dale and the warriors were arming. The dwarves rushed out of their great gate. But there was the dragon waiting for them. None escaped that way. After that, there were no dwarves left alive inside the mountain. And the dragon kept all their wealth for himself. The only ones to escape were those of us who happened to be outside at the time. Since then, we have had to earn our livings as best we could up and down the lands, often sinking as low as blacksmith's work, and even coal mining. And even now, when I will allow we have a good bit laid by and are not so badly off, we still mean to get back our stolen treasure, and to bring back our curses to Smaug, if we can.
Yes, well... A little light now, I think. I want you all to look at something.
I'll get a lamp.
No need. My staff will serve the purpose.
Your staff?
Certainly. Naren Edrayathamen.
Oh!
Now, everyone, what do you make of this?
It's a map of the mountain.
It is indeed, Gloin. A plan of the Lonely Mountain. And it was made by your grandfather.
Let me see. I don't see if this is going to help us much. I remember the mountain well enough and the lands around where the dragons bred.
There is one thing about the mountain that you do not know, and that is the secret entrance. Look at these runes marked here.
Runes, Gunnar?
Runes are the ancient letters of a half-forgotten language. Now, that rune marks the secret entrance to a hidden passage.
So that's how my father and grandfather escaped from the dragon. How did you get hold of this map, Gandalf? Why did it not come down to me, the rightful heir?
I did not get hold of it. I was given it. Your grandfather was killed, you remember, in the mines of Moria by a goblin.
Yes, the goblin, yes.
And your father went away on the 21st of April, 100 years ago, last Thursday, and has never been seen by you since.
True.
Your grandfather gave this map to your father before he went away to the mines of Moria.
Yes?
After your grandfather was killed, your father went to try his luck and recover the treasure. And lots of adventures of a most unpleasant sort he had. But he never got near the Lonely Mountain.
And where did you find him?
How he got there, I don't know. But I found him a prisoner in the dungeons of the Necromancer. I tried to save your father, Taurine, but it was too late. He had completely lost his wits and had forgotten everything except the map. The only thing your father wished was for his son to read the map. Now, I've shown you the secret entrance.
It may have been secret once, but how do we know it's secret any longer? Old Smaug has lived there long enough to find out everything there is to know about those caves.
Perhaps maybe so, but what it says on the map, I should guess there's a closed door which has been made to look exactly like the side of the mountain. That is the usual dwarves' method, is it not, Taurine?
Quite right.
Also, Taurine, I forgot to mention that with the map, your father gave me this key.
A key?
Here. Oh. Take it.
It is of silver and most curiously wrought. Is it the key to the secret door?
Perhaps. Keep it safe.
Indeed, I will. Now things begin to look more hopeful. We must get on and make some plans.
At last.
I think we should go east. As quiet and careful as we can as far as the Long Lake. After that, trouble might begin.
That would be no good.
Why not?
It would be useless to face Smaug without a mighty warrior. I tried to find one, but all the warriors are busy fighting one another in distant lands.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I settled on burglary, especially when I realized the existence of the secret side door. And here is our little Bilbo Baggins, the burglar, the chosen and selected burglar.
Burglar?
If I say you are a burglar you are, or will be when the time comes.
Oh, very well then. Supposing burglar expert gives us some ideas or suggestions.
Yes, well,
well, speak up, right?
Well, don't you know, I think we've talked long enough for one night, if you see what I mean. What about bed? And an early start and all that? I will give you a good breakfast before you go.
Before we go, you mean, Bilbo Baggins? We go.
I went to sleep with the dwarf's song running round in my head. It gave me very uncomfortable dreams.
It was long after the break of day when the little hobbit woke up, put on his dressing gown, and went into the kitchen.
That's better. I think, just one more piece of toast, I think. And then...
My dear sir.
Oh! Gone down!
Whenever are you going to come? What about that early start?
Early start?
Yes, you
are having breakfast, or whatever you call it, at 10:30. The dwarves left you the message because they couldn't wait.
Message? What message? What are you talking
about? Great, Oliphant, you ought to told yourself this morning. I can tell that you haven't dusted the mantelpiece.
Dusted the mantelpiece? Well, I don't know what that's got to do with it. I've had enough trouble with all the washing up for 14.
If you hadn't dusted the mantelpiece, you would have found this under the clock.
Come, Sam. Oh, a note. On my notepaper, too. Taurine and Company to Burton Bilbo, greeting. For your hospitality and for your offer of professional assistance, our thanks and grateful acceptance. Terms, cash on delivery, up to and not exceeding 1/14 of total profits. Hmm. If any, yes. All travelling expenses guaranteed, funeral expenses to be defrayed by us and... Funeral expenses? I ask. Or our representatives if occasion arises. Thinking it unnecessary to disturb your esteemed repose, we have proceeded in advance to make preparations. And shall await your respected person at the Green Dragon in Bywater at 11 a.m. sharp. Trusting that you will be punctual. Well, we have the honour to remain yours deeply, Taurine and Company.
That leaves you just 10 minutes. You'll have to run. No time for it.
Yes, but
no time for that. Off you go.
To the end of his days, Bilbo could never remember how he found himself outside, without a hat or walking stick or any money. He left his breakfast unfinished, had put his keys into Gandalf's hand, and found himself running as fast as his furry feet would carry him, down the lane, past the mill, and across the water.
Yeah, a very tough time it was, too, when I got to Bywater on the stroke of 11, and then found that I was without my pipe and tobacco, and without a pocket handkerchief.
Quite some time. Bravo, Mr.
Baggins.
We've just finished loading the
pony. Oh, ponies? I've never ridden a pony in my life.
You'll soon get used to it. A few days.
Oh, no, no.
Give us a hand, please.
No, put it down. Caught the eye. I've almost hurt myself. Dear, in any case, I'm afraid I've left my pocket handkerchief behind. And my hat. And I haven't got any money.
Yeah, you'll have to manage without a good many things before you reach journey's end, my little friend. Oh, as for a hat, I have a spare cloak and hood in my luggage.
Oh, how convenient.
Yes, Gandalf.
Here you are, Bilbo. My pipe, yes. And my tobacco. Very sorry of you, Mr. Gandalf.
Some pocket handkerchief.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
And now, the adventure starts. My friends, off we go.
Yes, but where, Torin?
Where, my little hobbit? Why, there. I'm back again. Far over the misty mountains cold.